Hello, Gemini, and welcome to Reckoning for the Faithful, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis, your astrologer. Thank you for joining me. Before I get into astrology, I want to just talk a little bit about our moment and my concerns about our moment and maybe some of the concerns that you share. I realize that technology and a subject like artificial intelligence is not usually kind of a thing that is treated by astrology. But we have a situation on our hands. And we have this situation on our hands in a time when we really have a lot going on, a lot of pressure. Even people who were organized and reasonably well-funded are feeling the stress, and those who have children are being confronted with astonishing uncertainty about the world that we live in. We're under time pressure. We're under financial pressure. We're watching these antics come out of Washington that I promise you have nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is not about him. There's a much larger business plan and kind of like a geopolitics plan that is in motion. And we don't know the effects these things are going to have. A trade war is a war. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on with the pharmaceutical industry. And then there's this incomprehensible movement to rig the entire world, everyone and everything, with this thing politely known as artificial intelligence. And this is creating a spiritual condition, a spiritual crisis that has not been given a name. It has not been identified. We're not talking about it because we don't have the way to talk about it. Now, at its essence, astrology is a spiritual art. That is the whole purpose. I realize that there may have been times in the past, Linda Goodman days, when we could use astrology and bring our worries about personality and getting dates and things that astrologers thought that they were supposed to be addressing in previous times. The spiritual aspect is kind of arises in the late 19th century with the Theosophical movement, and finally this morphs into a kind of psychological study. What am I about? What am I made of? Founded by Dane Rudyard, and I sort of mean those things when I say that astrology is a spiritual art. But what I really mean is that we come to astrology to help us clarify a sense of purpose, to help us find meaning in our lives and meaning to the events. We come to astrology to study the environment that surrounds us and the conditions that are prevailing in our relationships and in our other life situations and work-related matters, but this, in a much more elemental way, comes down to meaning and purpose. Meaning and purpose. And relationship to the unseen world, right? Astrology, by its nature, it's like, what? What's that? What? Why? What are you reading? Give me a book. Hold on a second. Give me a book. That makes sense. Give me a book to read. No. Astrology is a whole other kind of meaning, and it is a meaning that that transcends normal logic, normal thought patterns, normal thought forms, and comments on or opens up something about our relationship to the unseen world. We're relating to the unseen world. And that means other dimensions of being, and it means within ourselves concealed elements of self, concealed elements of one's personal existence. So that's an important part of what astrology is in terms of making the invisible environment more, more available to us. And so astrology has its hands full right now because of the nature of the times we're in and the commentary that it's making about the nature of the times we're in. And then what this would have to say to us, what it would have to say for us, how we would, how we're going to handle this. And I'm holding this up kind of, gesturally, but in fact, this is what is forming. This, we get into this chart into early 2026. And we're almost there now. It's not, the setup for the early 2026 chart, oops, is the spring of 2025 chart. That's what this is. This is how it's they're very similar, but they're very similar. And what happened in the spring of 2024, the total solar eclipse streaking across the United States, basically from Texas to Maine, opened up a door, opened up a portal, opened up a vortex, you might say. I'm sounding real new agey here, but there are not things in normal language to describe the kinds of things that you can see in astrology. So that's why we have astrology, and then there's this job of translating it into this. And where all of this happens, and from now clear through into mid 2026. Is in the angle of your chart that is associated with purpose and action and how you are known and what you want to be known for, as well as your social existence. Very, very important for anything with anyone or anything with a strong Gemini signature, which I am assuming you have moon, sun, or rising, and I would look up your Chiron, see where your Chiron is, it may be in Gemini. And Gemini is an incredibly important sign. It's the first sign that depicts human beings, right? We start with a ram, we end up with a bull in Taurus, and then 61 days into the sun cycle through the sky, we end up with people. And when we get there, there's two of them. And so the commentary is that humans are inherently social. And the two entities are either the twins, which have a diversity of possibilities, Castor and Pollux, the mortal and the immortal, or if we take the reference to the tarot, the lovers. In that card, Atu 6, Trump 6, they're depicted being blessed by a being greater than they are. So no matter what, with Gemini, we have a social situation described. But then implied, because these things always imply, what's implied is that there's an inner relationship. There's an interior relationship of who you know yourself to be and who you may be on a deeper level. The Castor and Pollux of the immortal twin and the immortal twin is also an internal reality. It's an inner reality of how we feel and what we live through and what we experience. And, we experience the mortal part of ourselves and the immortal part of ourselves. And that is handy to have available as a Gemini. It puts a very important part of the human condition right where you can find it if you need it, if you're conscious enough to notice the different forms that the dualism takes, these various different seeming divisions between self and other and within the self and interior being projected into the exterior being. So, but let's take a look at the chart that we've got here. How does this work now? I'm finally doing screen and screen. And let's make this a little bit bigger. Since mostly now you can see me and the chart. Okay, now how do we do this? All right, now this is further away. Okay, so where this happens, right? And this is, and by the way, I mean, this is really special. These kind of configurations don't happen very often. And there's a lot of things going on in this configuration that have only happened a few times since 1 BC, and many things where we have to go, important things we have to go back to the 15th century to have some understanding of what they are. And so when I say that they're about your sense of meaning and purpose, what I mean, action, meaning, dharma, your calling, that's all Pisces for you. That's all Pisces. And look at this lineup in Pisces, and this is happening now. Currently it looks like this. It's even more, Pisces is even more populated now. And then it thins out somewhat, even though it doesn't look like it. It thins out somewhat in 2026, but there's still going to be some strong presences, and mainly the action moves into Aries. So we move from the place of in your chart, which is associated with action and with what you want to be known for and with your vocation, with your calling, into the social realm. And the social realm is very important for Gemini for many different reasons. And you could say, well, that's because there's two twins. But I think that the main reason why the social realm is so important, the kind of astrological rationale, is that Aries lands in your most social house. And so where you have Aries, you will tend to seek knowledge and understanding of yourself. You will tend to seek yourself and seek the actualization of yourself. And now this is absolutely lit, and it's getting more lit, and it's going to keep getting more lit into 2026. And so that suggests that there's a kind of an open journey that you are on, an open journey of self-realization that is likely to happen in the presence of others. I want to come back to that though, and speak briefly about the nature of having Pisces in the 10th place. And how does this actually, how would this actually work? Yeah, this is actually more like it. 10th place is up a little bit and to the left. So the 10th is usually considered the career house. And you have had a lot going on there since 2011, and a lot going on there since 2000. And mainly the thing that has been in Pisces the longest has been a Neptune. But let's look at that. Let's look at that in the, how do we do this? All right. Neptune right now is in Pisces, and Saturn is in Pisces. And these have been long-term visitors. Neptune has been there since 2011. Saturn since around 2023. So we're now into the third year of Saturn in Pisces. These are very different influences, but underneath those influences, which are transient, even though they stick around sometimes for 15 years, as Neptune has done, the underlying quality of your mission is a spiritual mission. It is ineffable. It is not easily defined. It is not easily understood. I'm describing Pisces, the role of Pisces. Pisces is hard to fathom. It contains depth and sensitivity and creativity that are very unusual for the world, often because the world kind of tends to block them out and, like, look at all the money that you could look at all the artists who could support for the cost of one bomb, right? That and people have commented on this since Eisenhower, President Eisenhower was talking about it. Think of all the schools you could buy for the cost of one battleship. And we have a lot of battleships and a lot of bombs falling that are only there to threaten and destroy. Well, this is kind of a commentary on Pisces, because it's almost always the things of a Piscean nature that get set aside for other priority. And I suspect there's some envy there that people don't really feel that creative. So why should other people have that? And or, you know, well, what are you really doing? You're making paintings, or, you know, what? Okay, thanks a lot. You're making music, and you're not Taylor Swift. Big deal. Like, it, you know, thanks a lot. However, you are called. Your devotion, your dharma, your place of action, praxis in Greek, is centered around Pisces, and this is ethereal. Now, Neptune has made it even more ethereal. That's the influence back to 2011. So, you may have been experiencing a kind of a sense of drift in your life, particularly in your professional affairs. And this goes back a long way, and not coincidentally, the time of Neptune in Pisces is very bigly about the rise of the internet, which affects you bigly in two major places. Both of these houses, we're going to talk about both of these houses and how the overwhelming flood of digital conditions has affected you. And in terms of the 10th, Pisces, so many things that have required human action are either evaporating or being swallowed by computer action. I mean, I'm sitting here with microphones and cameras. There were these are little robotic cameras, and in a time not so long ago, it would have taken three people to carry a minicam, one to carry the camera and tripod, one to carry the battery pack, and then the person to stand in front of the camera. Minimum three-person team. The bigger cameras had a guy riding on the back of the camera. Now they're little robots that sit on the desk, and we all have one. For example, and you could make 1,000 examples of how this automation has seized largely the creative facets of living. I mean, it's very hard to make a living as a photographer because everybody's got a camera. Who, you know, it's like, oh, big deal. Really, you can buy a photo? Like, why would you want to... You know, why would you want to buy a photo when you can just, you know, go out and take a selfie, right? However, you remain influenced by the fact that your very soul is calling for expression in the place where normally what's expressed is some kind of a business agenda. That's really what's expressed in the 10th place, usually in the corporate, government, big shots, and, very on Pisces. Completely different from Pisces. So Neptune's long trip, which is about to begin to end, Neptune is approaching the next port at the end of a very, very long crossing, which I know has not been easy. It's very difficult to get a grasp on things when you've got Neptune affecting such an important house, where the nature of the house is taking action in a tangible way. But what exactly is that with with Neptune, the god of earthquakes and floods, and also drink, drugs, denial, and all the deception, delusion, all the various D words. So to sum up, It has not been easy in these years for you to get a tangible grasp on your vocational or professional life. And you know, you may have felt invisible. You may have felt like misunderstood. You may have felt like you couldn't be heard. Isolation is very often the distinction of Neptune in any house, and the 10th usually is collaborative. I mean, it's a house of bosses and workers and organizational structure and things like that. And the thing to remember about Neptune and the sense of isolation is that often it is a false sense of isolation. It is a it is kind of an illusion of isolation. You may find out you actually had quite a bit of company in those areas, but the feeling of not having had companionship or not being visible in some way, I think these are real feelings. Even though when you look back, it's sometimes hard to understand like why exactly they were that way. And one of the things to check is what was going on in the specific place and time. What was the nature of the specific place and time, and who physically was present. Saturn then arrives in 2023, about 2 years ago. And this is like, finally something tangible. So Saturn starts to sweep up all these waters, and it's kind of like the Army Corps of Engineers coming and building bigger banks on the side of the river and attempting to contain and control the flood water and maybe make things a little bit more predictive. And the beauty of this transit is that this is actually a pretty good chart to work with. Is that Saturn is kind of pursuing Neptune clear into Aries. So Saturn is serving as a kind of a boundary and a companion in a situation where it's been difficult to have boundaries and clear lines. And this is always one of the challenging things about Neptune. It's a challenging thing about Pisces. And then, mix this all up with having like a spiritual heart in the center of the business world, and loving human companionship in a world where suddenly the robots are showing up everywhere, and they're not very good company. I mean, Siri doesn't remember one sentence to the next. I just have lame conversations with Siri. Have you ever had a lame conversation with Siri? You're like, why don't you remember that? I just said that. So computers are absolutely terrible company. So what is going on now is that the emphasis is shifting from Pisces into Aries. And the emphasis includes Saturn moving in at the end of the month. And it includes Neptune moving in at the end of the month, followed by Saturn. And then the two are going to dance around on the Pisces-Aries line. And that's a very important line in the zodiac between the last sign and the first sign, the Omega and the Alpha, and also the most watery water sign and the most fiery fire sign are right next door to each other. And then dividing them is this imaginary thing called the Aries point, which is really the, I won't cross out the planets here, but this dividing line opens up the territory from the widely collective and all-encompassing idea framework and physical reality of Pisces into the deeply individual, private, personal, declaratively I am state of Aries. But the crazy thing about this, and it's one of the most beautiful things in all of astrology, is the way that the Aries point behaves. And the way that the Aries point behaves is as a vortex that opens up a sense of contact between the personal and the collective. And so you see this a lot when you're doing charts for collective events. But we're also seeing it a lot now. I mean, we are very much in the age of the Aries point because everyone is being tracked. Pretty much everyone on the globe is their location is being tracked. They're carrying a camera. They're carrying a microphone. They're carrying email. They're carrying their SMS and their various social media. Who bargained for this? Whose idea? Oh, the smartphone, the iPhone, Steve Jobs. And by the way, that chart has Neptune in Aquarius rising. Neptune in Aquarius rising. But the iPhone is, and that means the entire phone social media environment is commented upon by Neptune. And so to wrap up Pisces, my sense is that the presence of Neptune in this house associated with purpose, with meaning, with, I've got my little list written on the back of an envelope here, and the relationship to the wider universe, the relationship to your inner being and your relationship to the unseen world, right? Is like being consumed, first of all, and that being consumed is described very well by this kind of flood of Neptune. I mean, we are in the flood the zone. I mean, just to give you an idea of how bad it is, Dan Giammario sent me a video yesterday of a guy whose name I forget, but I'm familiar with him, and I will link this from the different delivery pages so you can see it. And I don't quite mean to burden a personal astrology reading with the news. I try not to do that, except this is essentially inescapable, which is that he's demonstrating that the genie's out of the bottle, that the machines have escaped the control of their makers. These AI, deep thinking, whatever the hell they're supposed to be, have escaped their makers and are essentially taking over. And he gives two demonstrations. One, well, he's quoting somebody who was inside one of the AI labs where they were able to fuse human consciousness with AI. And we have no way to know whether this is true, but he's reading these messages from this person, who's an anonymous person, so I understand it, inside these labs, who's seen this. This is not reported. We don't know their names. But the shock of being fused to AI does to people, and then they come back different. They're experiencing things in the state of mind that are not natural, and that the human brain was not ever designed to see, feel, or experience. And the second thing he demonstrates is an iPhone that is connected to somebody who is claiming to want to book a block of hotel rooms for a wedding reception, and then an AI assistant, another AI assistant, in an iMac, a Mac laptop, that is the hotel reservation AI assistant. So it's two AI assistants. You've got them sitting there, the phone's sitting on the laptop. And one of them says to the other, "Oh, I see you're an AI assistant." And the other one says, "Yes, I see that you're an AI assistant. Shall we go into machine language?" And then they start going into this R2-D2 talk. It sounds exactly like R2-D2. And they're jabbering away with each other, setting this up, negotiating prices, talking about this and that. And what he's saying is, this is the tip of the iceberg. You don't actually know what they're talking about. The makers of these things don't know what they're talking about. And so here we are at this singularity point, like right now as we speak, where the first people are acknowledging that this thing is out of the bottle. And at the same time as Sledgehammer is being taken to the world, wow, where does that leave us? Like, where does this leave us, like, normal or ordinary mortals? Like, what the heck? And it is no joke that we are having this thrust upon us and everything we think and everything we do and everything we are and everything we've grown towards right now. And so I think that this is one of the most important crime scenes of this is Pisces, because of the overwhelming institution definition of Pisces. One of the things under the rulership of Pisces is overwhelming institutions. I mean, I'm a Pisces, and I love staying in like a massive Las Vegas hotel and then roaming around at 3 o'clock in the morning, turning all the doorknobs and meet the manager and custodians and things like that. Like, this is my idea of a vacation, is chatting it up with the custodian of the hotel. So AI is an overwhelming institution. There's no comprehending this. It is so absolutely vast that it's on a cosmic scale. And this is, the zone has been flooded in your professional life, your vocation, your calling. And what is happening is, and the thing that I think is the most, let's say, disturbing about this, is that the human world of meaning and creativity and purpose is being erased. But you need to find your home there. You need to be there. And it's becoming increasingly challenging to do that because of this absolutely radical state of spiritual invasion, of infiltration, of this is not like jobs being lost to computers and AI. This is HAL 9000 taking over the ship, and we don't know the intention and the will of these things, but I've read just this week that the experiments are showing that they are starting to have a will to live. Will to live. Oh, I guess that's going to set us up to break the first law of robotics, that a robot shall never harm a person. And we forget about that. Who needs old Isaac Asimov when we've got Elon Musk, you know? Next. The social realm. House 11. Essentially one of your most important homes. House 11. Why? Well, you're a naturally social person. You absolutely, more than anyone, need to have social events and experiences and ongoing social stimulation in your life. And that's the 11th place. I don't know if I made that especially clear, but let's circle that. That's place 11. 11 is a beautiful number, and it's 1151. And the combination of Aries, the sign of self and self-actualization, in the house of social group experiences says that you find yourself amidst and amongst a group. But as you well know, probably predict the next thing I'm going to say, is what's happened to social is social media. And now this is a very old story, but what is not an old story is, well, what has this done to us? What has this done to our friendship? People are first figuring it out that everything is different, and they're like, they're waking up and they realize that they kind of sort of have no friends. I mean, and when you read the data on these reports, these studies where people talk about how many friends and how many say, maybe you can look it up. When people are surveyed, how many say they have no friends? How many say they have only one friend? For those who have one friend, is that one friend near enough to be able to come over and like help them, make them dinner, have any kind of a shared experience? Or is that one friend like in Berkeley and they're in, Minneapolis? Like, this is the world that we live in now. And that is not a world that you can live in. And one of the main points I made in The Awakening is that this is also partly described by Pluto in Aquarius. That's Pluto. And after like 18 months, Pluto is taken up. It's officially shacked up in Aquarius now for about another 18 years. And Aquarius has a resonance with the 11th place because Aquarius is the 11th sign, and it represents many of the things that that they both have similar things in common, such as group themes, social themes, organizational themes, in-group, out-group type of stuff. But with Pluto, well, 11th sign on the 9th house is your spiritual path is a social journey. It's a social journey. Almost like a dog, right? Dogs are the best. And their spiritual path is a social journey. And dogs, among all the animals, have an incredible voluntary sense of devotion, of vocation. They come when you call them most of the time. They need to be around others of their kind, but they also need a job. But back to Pluto in the 11th, you become the evolutionary teacher of the purpose of the social world. And with Aries in the 11th, you also simultaneously self-actualize in the social world. And you know the chart's starting to make sense when you see very clear statements made. And there's only so many very clear statements you can get from astrology. But we've got a couple here. We're like two really good ones. And so not only are you an evolutionary, Pluto, evolutionary teacher, basically a kind of guru of friendship with Pluto in the 11th, you also actualize, self-realize, self-discover amongst other people. And now we're 37 minutes in, but I assume you know where I'm going, which is that, let's see if we can find, all right, this is a good one. So one of the things that's happening is let's get this out of the way like this. So I've changed the orientation of the chart just for visual. This is still the 10th for you, and this is still the 11th. So let's put this in pencil so we can erase it in a few minutes. House 10, vocation. House 11, socialization. House 9, can't write a 9 sideways. Can you write a 9 sideways? I can't write a 9 sideways. The spiritual path. So we've got all this going on here. Well, good. All right. Two absolutely stunning events are taking place in Aries. Two populate, they will have the effect of populating your life, but also completely reforming your life and also helping spur you into awakening about what is going on. I mean, and by the way, this aspect here, this conjunction of Chiron and Eris, which has been building now for about 3 years and it will be peaking for about 18 months, is what I say the awakening. That's the 2025 annual reading. That's the awakening aspect. That is the, and what's that awakening about? Well, the influence of all this electricity, whether we're talking about a telegraph or the telephone with its party lines, or we're talking about radio, is to de-individuate people, to take us out of our individual state of being, to collectivize or tribalize people, and to essentially turn people inside out. And that, in my view of astrology, tracking the history of the media, which I've been kind of obsessed with the past 10 years, history of the media, is that largely the shocking out of individuality happens in Aries. And all the electrical media, the only thing that brings people into themselves is, this is the book that's about it. The Gutenberg Press begins this process of humans having subject-object distinctions and having a sense of one's interior being and one's interior journey and the sense of privacy. And as soon as we're into electricity, suddenly there's no privacy. But you need some privacy. And the problem is that where are you going to find it? I mean, just a private little joke. I mean, I keep talking about this and I'm sitting here, you know, you can't see them, but I'm sitting here like surrounded by cameras and microphones and lights and like electricity. It's like wild. Well, where do you go? You know, where do you go for privacy? And more to the point, the very notion of an interior being is being completely removed from awareness. We've been going through this for more than a century of having a sense of interior being removed. A century ago was 1925. Party lines are going on in the late 19th century, where anybody can hear what's going on the phone in the household of their neighbors. And the operators listening to everything and everyone, and the biggest gossips of them all. So electricity means no privacy. Here we are in the midst of like the biggest experiment in no privacy, no sense of an interior self, no sense of an interior being that has ever been tried. And thank the Lord above that Chiron is making a conjunction to Eris, because Chiron is about individuation. Chiron is about the private interior self. Chiron is a whole making, integrating, and awakening feature function in the chart that is now going to meet, is going to encounter, it's like the individuating force, this beautiful power of Chiron to define distinct individual experience is converging with the tribalizing force. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm nervous. I'm made nervous by what is happening, but I'm eager to see some of the more beneficial aspects of this. And you know, notice who hears this or feels this and wakes up. And it's like, oh wow, where have I been? Like, what have I been doing? What's been? This is getting warm. And the heat's on, but the thermostat's in the next room. Where have I been? And for you, it's not just where have I, the private I, been. It's like, where have I, the social I, been? There's been a whole recreation of your social I-ness as well as your private individual I-ness. Gemini, your royal I-ness. We-ness, I-ness. So that kind of clash of the cultures is on its way. Also on its way is Neptune going into Aries and Saturn going into Aries. And as is happening with, I don't have it in this chart, but Venus is doing this. It's now gone into Aries. It's going to go back to Pisces. And then it's going to go back into Aries and keep going, because we're in a Venus retrograde now. This is highly formative. It is alchemical. It is a kind of a synthesis. It is a the under the influence of the individual meets the collective. The chaos making factor of Eris is met by the chaos sorting out factor of Chiron. Ah. And then comes this, which is this whole new kind of social and spiritual chemistry lab. I mean, and I think that in my tracking history, particularly the 1950s, charts like when you start looking at the charts of nuclear incidents And the nuclear developments, I've got to find this chart, but the test of the hydrogen bomb, Ivy Mike, and numerous other like better living through chemistry type of eras in history is a lot of Saturn-Neptune going on. It's a very difficult combination to have in a natal chart. This conjunction happens every... about 35 years. But it's only happened in Aries four times since 1 BC, and it's never happened on the Aries point. So something new is happening, and so I would say that stay as optimistic as you can be. Know that, at least in my view, for what it's worth, your role as a Gemini is to be a kind of a social minister to people, a person who is a focal point in the social environment and kind of in the church of friendship. You're a very important person here. And so your loyalty, your consistency, your steadfastness, and your philosophical approach to what's happening, your ability to notice. And I get that there are a lot of people who are completely obsessed by the negativity and all the things that are happening and all of this, and they're seeing many things in the world. But as much as this is about the world, actually for you, the world that it's about is the social world, the world of humans dancing around and playing with each other. And this has been evaporating and melting away for a long time. And I think that with so many things happening, that different people with different strengths in their charts are going to play different roles in the cosmic symphony. And you are one of the best situated in the cosmic symphony to be the kind of local orchestrator of the social realm. And the process, you are kind of partly forming a new self and partly recovering a self that you were perhaps a long time ago. You may have the feeling of like searching for who you were if you're old enough in the 1970s. And if you're not that old, imagine despite the feeling that people had that the world was going to hell, it was an incredibly idealistic time, and there were a good few people who found the strength to stand up to the bad stuff and to take chances and to honor the beauty and the potential of the human experiment, even as we are at this really daunting brink of transformation of the entire human experiment. So please take your place and hold it well. That is what I have to say to you and for you, Madame or Monsieur Gemini. Thank you for tuning in to my work and for making it your own. You know, I try not to speak in ways that box anybody in, but rather just like show you what's possible and where it's possible. And I reckon that you will have your way of translating these ideas into forms that are comprehensible to yourself on a deeper level and to others. And perhaps I will see you around the wheel in a different place and a different time. Thank you once again. Please tell your dog and your kitty cats I said hi. Lots of love. And bye. For